Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Sean Hawkins.
Welcome. This is the XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hawkins. This is going to be a little bit different episode than what I've been doing. I've been trying to do 2 a week since the season started. But now, this episode, since I'm traveling tomorrow to Houston for the Seattle Dragons versus Houston Roughnecks game, I am kind of combining two shows together. I'm kind of going in-depth on the week 4 review. I kind of just hit some high notes, talk about a few stats and everything. And then I'll do my rankings going into week 5, and then I'll do a quick week 5 preview, just kind of give you my picks. Just a tidy little episode. Next week I'll go back 2 episodes a week, but I promise y'all an episode for every week of the season, and here I am. So, first up, I'm going to talk about the game of the week. It was the Texas Throwdown between the Houston Roughnecks and the Dallas Renegades. Roughnecks win 27-20 in a very, very entertaining game. Not quite game of the year potential, or not quite game of the year like I thought it would be, like the potential it had to be. But Houston and Dallas had a good game. Total net yards was close. Roughnecks had 307 to 292. And plays was close. 60 yards of offense. I'm sorry. Edit that. 60 offensive plays for Dallas. Ugh. 60 plays for Houston to 66 plays for Dallas. Yards per play, though, 4.2 for Houston and 3.4 for the Renegades. Surprisingly enough, Renegades actually had more first downs, 21 to 19. But the difference maker was turnovers. Roughnecks only had 1 to the Renegades 5, including 3 first half interceptions by Landry Jones. So let's talk about the game a little bit. It wasn't a Cam Phillips show like normal. So they had to go to different guys. Holly was a big part of that, but the defense for Houston got a well-deserved W. 3 interceptions, 2 recovered fumbles, including 1 return for a touchdown. Len Jones got hurt in the fourth quarter. Had to be helped off the field. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. Philip Nelson took over. But right at his own goal line, Houston did a big stand, and Philip Nelson turned the ball over. That was it. It was a wild play to win. June Jones said, "We talk about those takeaways all the time. Our defense just kept hanging in there. We needed to score more points when we had our chances." Yeah, on those I think on those turnovers, Houston only had like 9 points off of it in the first half. So they led the whole game, but it was a lot closer than it should have been. But it's a team game and did enough on each side of the ball to win, and that's going to be a start of a pretty good rivalry. P.J. Walker said, "I thought the defense played exceptional today. They carried us in. Offensively, we played decent, and we got to play next week. Just play our game." So that's the game. Like I said, 5 turnovers to 1 for Houston. So Dallas turned over the ball 5 times. Houston only turned over the ball once. Even says right here, no surprise there. Pick performances. Robinson had the game breaking strip sack scoop, but cornerback Dedrick Nichols rescued 2 of the 3 early interceptions. Though Dallas shut down Cam Phillips, Walker and Nick Holly took advantage. He had 10 targets, catching 8 for 97 yards and a touchdown. Walker was quieter with his production, but proved effective in finding what the defense gave him. Khalil Lewis had 13 targets, and Blake Jackson had a score. Flynn Nagel converted a key 3-point catch in the third quarter and caught 6 of 7 targets for 76 yards, a team high. Lance Dunbar added 65 scrimmage yards to his score. Dallas continued to rely on a sound run game, which may become more important if Jones misses time, which they will. Boss Duke said, "I so appreciate the great fans that were out there this afternoon. We had a great crowd, great environment, and we got to get them a win. Hopefully they hang in there with us." Just looking at the game, I find it amazing with 2 minutes remaining, we were on the 3-yard line with a chance to tie the game or take the lead. Yeah, they should have never been in that game, to be honest with you, after those interceptions. Gary Martini said, "When you have an explosive player like P.J. Walker, it's about everyone really getting to the ball, and for those secondary guys, it's about staying in your coverage longer because we can extend plays up front, we knew we had to disrupt them. Again, Houston should have taken more advantage. If they just scored touchdowns instead of field goals, they would have just annihilated Dallas. But they got what they could. The defense was solid. And they did just enough to win the game, 27-20. But we'll see how Dallas does without Landry Jones. Their first game without him, again, is this Sunday in Dallas. I mean, this Saturday in Dallas on Fox at 5 o'clock against the New York Guardians. Should be an interesting matchup between two teams that's kind of struggling on offense. So check that out right after the game I'll be at on ABC at 2 o'clock Eastern. Seattle Dragons at the Houston Roughnecks. I'll be right back. Talk about the rest of week four right quick. Next was a very surprising game to me. The New York Guardians in a low-scoring game beat the Wildcats 17-14. Guardians kicker pretty much won the game for them. A blocked field goal for the Guardians also helped them take advantage and win the game. Luis Perez actually looked really good against his old team. That moved the Guardians to 2-2, both wins at home. Home teams are 11-5 this year, by the way. And I'm 10-4 in my picks, just not to brag. The Wildcats are 1-3. My thing is with this is L.A. is such a Jekyll and Hyde team. One week they look really good. Next week they look awful. But Josh Johnson still looks pretty good. Trey McBride had 8 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. He's looking amazing in his first 2 weeks with the Wildcats. But it makes you wonder what kind of team this is. Is this the team that lost 17-14 in New York? Or is it the team that went out and just destroyed D.C.? Which a lot of teams have lately. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the Darius Victor looked really good for the Guardians. Not against Luis Perez. Luis Perez played really well, and this is the kind of offense that Coach Gilbert wants to run. Just game manager, just slowly going down the field, heavy running game. So take a look. You know, look out for these guys in the coming weeks. The way DC is playing, New York can sneak up to that number 2 seed in the East if Luis Perez can keep doing pretty good, and if that running game gets going, Mikhail McKay gets going, and that defense stays great. In the win, Gilbride said, "We're excited about the win. Our players continue to fight. It was a small step, but one in the right direction." Joey Mubu said, "The win was good. We know we are a talented team, and we just had to put everything together on offense, defense, and special teams in this game. This game that we did that. And this is a game that we did that." Side of the game, 122 yards rushing for the Guardians to just 40 for LA. LA's running game has been non-existent this season so far. It's been kind of putrid, especially the way Elijah Hood kind of had a lot of hop coming out. But in total yards, they still outgained the Guardians, 345 to 250. Very low scoring game and low offensive plays is 56 for the Wildcats and 59 for the Guardians. And the Guardians only had 2.7 yards per play to 5.7 for the Wildcats. The main difference was the block punt. The block field goal. It wasn't for that block field goal, it would have been 17-17. We could be still playing overtime right now. I know I want an overtime game. We got close a couple of times this week. I really want an overtime. I really want to see an overtime game. I don't think the game I'm going to is going to be that. I think Houston's going to blow out Seattle. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But back to this game. Let's talk about the peak performances. Well, the Wildcats, it says, without Nelson Spruce and Martez Carter, McBride stepped up. Following a 2-touchdown week 3 performance, he topped 100 yards receiving for the second straight week, making his role as a potent downfield weapon while helping Johnson stretch the field. Safety Ahmad Dixon flew out of the field with a season-high 14 combined tackles, and Devin Taylor had 1.5 sacks. For the Guardians, Owens feasted, registering 2 sacks, hitting the quarterback 4 times, and blocking the Wildcats' field goal. Yeah, he was definitely the man this week. He is the exceptional player of the week. I mean, when you get 2 sacks, hit the quarterback 4 times, and block a field goal that pretty much made the game over at that point or helped you win the game, I mean, that's a lot of, on defense in this league, that is a lot of plays. So, Owens, congratulations. You are the XFL podcast exceptional player of the week. Victor led the revival of the New York running game. Those ground struggles could have saved erratic quarterback play the first 3 weeks, but proved crucial to let the Guardians possess the ball for 33 minutes and 9 seconds. Like I've been talking about before, if you run the ball, the other team can't score. The other team can't score if they don't have the ball, unless it's a deep touchdown, of course. But once Tomas said, well, I thought we had our opportunities to win the game, and we did not take advantage of them, very short. Josh Johnson said, just really focus on the fundamentals of football, the details. Just going out there and playing the quarterback position the way I've always been taught and the way our coaches want me to play, and just play one play at a time. So, yeah, this game could have went either way. I thought L.A. was the better team going into it, the way that defense had played, the way that defense played against Cardale Jones during week 3. I thought they would take advantage of whoever the quarterback was for New York, Williams, Perez, or Crybaby. but they didn't. The defense came back down to earth. Martez Carter didn't play. Nelson Spruce didn't play. It makes you wonder if the game would have been any different if they did. But they didn't. And so in the rain slash snow, the Guardians got the job done. They made just enough plays and took advantage of the opportunities they had presented to them, and LA just didn't do that. So 17-14 win for the Guardians. Let's talk about Seattle at St. Louis. B.J. Daniels came in for Seattle, setting up this week. It could be B.J. versus P.J. Can't wait to see that live this Saturday. So excited. Check out the live pregame on XFL Newsroom's YouTube. I'll be there with the ref live at the tailgate at TDECU Stadium. My plane leaves tomorrow, so by the time you listen to this, I'm probably in the air freaking out. Actually, right about now, I'll be landing in Houston. So excited about finally getting to watch a live XFL game, Seattle and Houston. Seattle, though, they look like a totally different team with B.J. Daniels in there in the second half. But St. Louis held on to win. They was blowing them out there for a while. Daniels threw for 100 yards and a score while chewing up 84 rushing yards, bringing Seattle 1-3 back into the game after the club mustered just 3 points in the first half. Although he led them on a pair of touchdown drives, it was intercepted by Will Hill. He was intercepted by Will Hill late in the fourth quarter. The Dragons also failed the Stahl Blossman Battle Hawk Signal Caller Jordan Tamu. The Ole Miss alum threw for 264 yards and a touchdown. And ran for 60 yards, continuing to thrive in the Battle Hawks pace controlling style. They're in first place. The Battle Hawks are in first place in the East. They played D.C. this week. We'll get to that pick later, but let me just say, I think the way that crowd is in St. Louis, they're going to be hard to beat, especially at home. Even on the road, they're going to be hard to beat. That's Dallas, but this team is fantastic. The wide receivers are great. The running backs are great. The quarterback's blossoming. The defense lets up the least amount of points in the league. They are in control right now. They're going to win the East, and if you got to be the 2 seed in the East going to St. Louis, St. Louis is going to go to the championship game. They're going to win the Eastern Division Championship. So St. Louis is definitely the team to beat in the East, I think, right now. It's a 2-team race without Landry Jones. It's Houston and it's St. Louis. We're kind of staring that down. And what a classic that was a couple week 2. Can you imagine that game again in Houston for the championship? I'm just excited waiting for it. It's going to be awesome. Jonathan Hayes said, You know we did good in time of possession just looking at the stat sheet quickly. The one thing that obviously stuck out to me that was one thing that we definitely had to correct is our penalties. Those are the things that are going to kill us when we get in these tight games and guys are making plays and they keep bringing them back. We had to take care of that. Jordan Thomas said it was kind of nervous just seeing them come back and putting up drives and bringing in that second quarterback, B.J. Daniels, who can run and throw. So that kind of put us on our heels a little bit. But I just told our offense, stay calm, stay collected, do what we have to do and get first downs and touchdowns. Field goals will come later. Stats of the game was actually Jordan Thomas, 20 for 27, passing 74%. 264 yards passing, one passing touchdown, and 63 yards. Jordan Tombe was a one-man show against Seattle. With his often devastating two-way talent, Daniels holds a strong case starting week 5 ahead of Brandon Silvers. Daniels only completed 5 of 10 attempts, but averaged 10 yards on those throws. Silver just had 2.7. Steven Johnson, who might end up being defensive player of the year, even if Seattle is just horrible, once again led the squad with 8 combined tackles, 3 solo, continuing to set the table as a captain. He's just, again, finished the weekend as one of the league leaders, if not the leader. The question is, can he tackle... This winner, and can he tackle Phillip Walker? I'm so excited about this game Saturday. Pearson Arrow again caused matchup problems and served as a safety valve for Tambu, getting all 5 targets, sent his way for 71 yards. He arrested the game-clinching interception late in the fourth quarter. He deflected another pass. The former NFL veteran also played with a heavy heart. His father suffered an aneurysm but appears to be recovering. That's good. This is what Jim Zorn had to say about Muhammad Cisse. Our team is just great, man. They care about Muhammad. They wanted to know right away what was going on. Everyone is disappointed about the fact that we lost, and the Battle Hawks did a great job of hanging in there. We feel like we gave a spark to the group with B.J. Daniels coming in the second half. B.J. Daniels said, "I think we picked up energy in the second half and tried to make it a game. I'm really thankful and proud of the teammates we have in Seattle because we all ride for each other. Our guys are close-knit. They stick together. Even right now, that locker room, we are praying for Muhammad. That's a big deal for us." Just a couple of stats from this game. Battle Hawks had 392 net yards, just 253 for Seattle. 23 first downs, just 11 for Seattle. When you do stuff like that, it's going to be over. It'll be over quick. And turnovers, again, Seattle would lose 1, but that 1 was costly, and St. Louis would none. St. Louis seems like they always win the turnover battle in these games, especially at home. That home crowd, and I heard a couple weeks they opened up the upper deck at the Dome. That crowd's going to be rocking against L.A. in a couple weeks, but that Dome rocking with that defense, they're going to be super hard to beat at home, no matter who comes in there. That's why I think the Battle Hawks might be the favorite. I don't think enough people gave them credit in the preseason. And we're, you know, just a couple weeks away or a couple days away until they play D.C. to see who is the beast in the East. If St. Louis beats them, they got a 2-game lead on them, and that's going to be hard to overcome. St. Louis is legit coming out of the East. One more game, and what a shocker it was. We're going to go over from week 4. The Tampa Bay Vipers, 25-0. Yes, 25 for the Vipers, none for D.C. It said Sunday night marked the second straight week that D.C. defenders failed to a winless team. They won at home against what we thought was a great team in D.C., but I'm starting to wonder if D.C. only wins at home, which they'll be at home this week. But D.C. just looked awful against the Vipers. I'm sitting there watching. I watched it on demand because I was busy, and I'm like, all right, D.C.'s coming back anytime now. DC's coming back anytime now, and anytime now didn't happen. So Devion Smith notched the first 100-yard rushing game in XFL history with his 103-yard performance. Jacquez Patrick also had 94 yards, playing with a heavy heart after the recent passing of his father. Jacquez Patrick and Devion Smith, I think it's the second-best running back tandem in the league other than St. Louis. Taylor Cornelius looked great, rarely missed a bit. Going for 24 for 31 for 211 yards and a touchdown, adding a rushing score. He found the groove with offensive coordinator and play caller Jamie Linzotto in the past 2 weeks. On the D.C. side, the same window, Cardale Jones averaged 87.5 yards passing and had a 0-5 touchdown or interception ratio in the last 2 weeks. Did D.C. just beat up bad teams the first 2 weeks in Seattle and New York, and now that they're playing pretty good teams that are just getting smashed? That's what I wonder. I mean, without Nick Truesdale and without Aaron Murray or Quentin Flowers, Tampa just went in there and knocked DC in the mouth. It was weird. It's the weirdest thing I've seen. On the win, Chessman said, "I'm just happy for our players and our coaches. They're a resilient bunch. Our players have a sense of how good we can be. We said it all along. There's a sign of a good team in there. We're going to enjoy the win, but there's a lot of different ways we can get better. We know that." Jacquez Patrick said, "Glad to win the first one. We got to put a lot of work in. It's finally good to see the results show on the scoreboard." his side of the games. It said the Vipers are ready to strike. 477 net yards, just 107 for DC. 266 rushing yards, just 46 for DC. And 29 first downs, just 6 for DC. Vipers whooped their ass. Like, the Vipers whooped their ass. DC looks lost. Pep Hamilton's not calling plays the same way he was before. Like, he don't seem confident in it. He sees Cardale just making mistakes. It makes you wonder, how long is the leash for Cardale now? Cardale went from being an MVP candidate to might be getting benched. And they played St. Louis this week. It don't get any easier, you know. How do you start at 2-0 and look like world beaters and just go to trash? Now they got to play a team. Again, though, they're playing at home in D.C. Are they just a bad road team? Will this team go 5-5? I mean, that might be good enough to win second in the East, but now you got to worry about Tampa Bay. They're just a game behind D.C. And Tampa Bay, look, they're kind of coming together with that running game and that defense. And Tampa Bay plays L.A. Sunday night. D.C. could be looking up at Tampa by the end of the night come Sunday night. It's going to be very interesting. A couple of games Sunday between the two play. D.C. plays first against St. Louis, and then Tampa Bay is the nightcap. It's going to be interesting to see what Tampa Bay can do against L.A. We'll talk about that game in a minute, but I'm starting to come around on the Vipers a little bit. Peak performers, Raheem Moore, registered his second interception of the season in one of the rare bright spots for the visitors. Matt Elam, who just got released, and Jonathan Celestian gathered 12 combined tackles. Smith, Patrick, and Cornelius churned out the win, but wideout Dan Williams also bullied D.C. secondary with a 7-catch, 72-yard day on 11 targets, including a 38-yard play. Pep Hamilton said, we have to tackle, we have to stop the run. They did a really good job of running the football, and they did it well all game. Cardale Jones said, they played their game. We missed on opportunities that we wanted to exploit. We just missed it. They played a great overall game overall, but nothing that we weren't ready for. Well, I'm sorry, Cardale. Y'all got to beat 25-0. Like, it looks like y'all was not ready for it. Again, I mean, defenders had 7 punts, 1 turnover, only 107 yards, 6 first downs of 29, and 266 rushing yards of 46, like I said. Even passing yards, 211 to 61 passing yards. D.C. was not ready for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay punched them in the mouth. The thing is, though, D.C. just got destroyed by L.A., and they keep talking about all week against, you know, okay, it's how you get back up. You know, it don't matter how you get knocked down, it's how you get back up. What if you don't get back up? This team did not get back up. They got knocked in the mouth a couple weeks ago by L.A., and then they just laid down for Tampa Bay. And Tampa not only struck, they beat them in the death. Like, they struck, and then they just swallowed them whole. Like, that was it. Like, D.C., I thought D.C. would come out and beat Tampa Bay by what happened with L.A., but they didn't pick up their game. Like, they did not pick up their game like you think they would. They look like a worse team than they did when they got blew up by 30 points by L.A. D.C.'s in trouble, guys. D.C.'s in trouble, especially if this Tampa team keeps making strides like they are. Like I said before about D.C., I mean, about Tampa Bay, there was instant closer to that win, kind of like L.A. was. L.A. was looking better and better, you know, the first couple weeks than they won. Tampa was looking better and better every week, and then they won. If you're Seattle playing Houston this week, Houston not need to be worried about an upset. I don't think it's going to happen, but Seattle's looking better and better. Especially with B.J. Daniels, is it their time to get a big win? Even though they already won a game against Tampa, we'll see if Seattle can get a road win. But watch out for Tampa as a sneaky 2-seed in the East. It seems like they're slowly building momentum, and they're ready to maybe put this thing together and make a run for the playoffs. Next, we'll talk about the rankings going into Week 5, and here they are. Number 8, L.A. Wildcats. L.A., how do you look like a good team 1 week and then just get beat down pretty bad? Not pretty bad by New York, but just get beat by a New York team that's looked like garbage the last few weeks. I don't make no sense. It's a Jekyll and Hyde team. They got to kind of even out to show me something. So L.A. is number 8. Number 7, it's going to be hard. Seattle. Seattle's going to be number 7. But with B.J. Daniels in there, they might have a place to kind of – they might have enough momentum with him to put a spark of the offense. The defense actually been playing pretty good all year. The defense is really good. It's the offense not putting it together. But with B.J. Daniels in there, Seattle might make a run for the playoffs like Tampa might. So watch out for B.J. Daniels and the Seattle Dragons. Number six, it is going to be the Tampa Bay Vipers. Y'all shocked me by the beatdown that y'all gave DC, 25-0. DC is just a horrible team right now. I don't know what's going on with them, but they better straighten out in a hurry. But Tampa Bay is legit, and they get L.A. this week on the road. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Vipers went in there and beat L.A. and took care of business and moved up these rankings. Number five is the New York Guardians. But again, like I was talking about Bobby J. Daniels, Luis Perez gave a spark to this team. He's kind of a game manager that don't turn over the ball, unlike some people, Matt McGloin. This team can play good defense, run the ball steady, and let Luis Perez just kind of do his thing. This team could also make a run for the playoffs. But Luis Perez cannot turn over the ball like Matt McGloin did. That was the problem, penalties and turnovers. If Luis Perez can calm this team down, play his kind of style like the Burning Iron did with a good defense and just an intermediate passing game, Luis Perez can turn this team around to the Guardians at five. Number four, D.C. I'm doing this college style. Now, this is power rankings. D.C. probably be last, but this is college style. D.C.'s at four. What is going on? You know, look like World Beaters the first 2 weeks and then scored 9 combined points 2 weeks after that. I don't understand this team. I think Pip Hamilton don't have as much confidence he did the first 2 weeks, and Cardale Jones is losing his confidence with all the turnovers. You can't throw 60 yards in a game and win. Never. It's never going to happen. DC's in trouble, and this might just be the beginning of the downfall. Number three, Dallas Renegades. I know y'all just lost Andrew Jones. I get it. But if this team can just hold it together for 2 weeks till he gets back, I think y'all be okay. Y'all have a pretty winnable game against New York. But if y'all follow New York, y'all going to fall down these rankings. Phillip Nelson is okay, but y'all might need to go out and get a quarterback if you think Landry Jones will be out longer. But if it's only going to be 2 weeks, stick with Phillip Nelson. He knows the offense. Stick with running the ball with Artis Payne and Lance Dunbar, and y'all be just fine. Number two, St. Louis. I love St. Louis. I love this team. I can't put them ahead of number one team, Houston. But St. Louis is a great team. I love watching them play. They're exciting. Good defense, good running game, good quarterback. They're a total package. Hell, even their kicker's fun to watch, kicking bombs. In that dome, that rowdy crowd, they had the best fans in the XFL. Love watching them play. St. Louis at number two. Number one, Houston. Y'all went out, y'all took care of business against Dallas, and y'all did y'all's thing, and now you're undefeated. Can anyone stop y'all? I do not think so. Phillip Walker and Cam Phillips are the two MVP candidates, and they are a joy to watch. And you got Nick Holly and Khalil Lewis coming along. What a great team this team is. And even their defense stepped up this week. Their defense won them the game against Dallas in that Texas showdown, the first of two with Dallas. If that defense can come together like it did last week and keep it together with the offense humming, this team will not be beaten. They'll be undefeated in the first season of the XFL. All right, so I'm only doing one episode this week because I'm traveling and everything. Check me out on XFL Newsroom. Check me out on Twitter and Facebook at XFL Podcast. Check me out on Love Sport Radio in the UK every Saturday morning with Anthony Wooten and the North American Sports Show. But right now, check me out on XFL Newsroom YouTube. I think we're going to go live at 11 o'clock Central, so 12 o'clock Eastern, somewhere around in there. What a great time it's going to be. I'm so excited about my first game. Never flew before, kind of nervous, but excited at the same time about that too. Let's talk about these games week five. I'm going to go give you picks. I'm going to give you the spread, just kind of give you picks and my thoughts. We'll talk about my game. Houston is a 12-point favorite against Seattle. I think that's actually too much. I think that's too big of a spread. B.J. Daniels showed some life for Seattle. Two great mobile quarterbacks. It'll be an exciting, fun game. I think 12.5 points is too much. I do think Roughnecks win, but not by 12.5, maybe by 10 or so. But give me the Roughnecks to win this game. Dallas is hosting the Guardians. They're a 7.5-point favorite. Again, I think this might be too much. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than people think. You got Phillip Nelson against Luis Perez. I know it's in Dallas. Guardians defense is good. Renegades defense is good. This might be a low-scoring game. I think this is the lowest. It is the lowest over-under is 37. Sorry, over-under is 45.5 for Houston and Seattle. So they're expecting a blowout and a high-scoring game. But this is the lowest over-under of the week. Game manager quarterbacks, but give me Dallas beating the Guardians in that game. St. Louis, 3.5-point favorites against D.C. Actually, don't think this is enough. The over-under is 39 points, but I also don't think it's enough. Give me St. Louis. I know D.C.'s at home, but DC is kind of trending down. St. Louis trending up. Of course, every time I say that, the other team wins. But give me Jordan Tamu over Cardale Jones. Jordan Tamu is the number two quarterback right now in the XFL, I think. So give me St. Louis to beat DC and further submit themselves as the best in the East. And finally, the LA Wildcats is a two-point favorite against Tampa Bay. No, give me Tampa Bay. Might be the first time I picked them. Give me Tampa Bay to beat LA. I know it's at home, but Tampa's defense is actually humming pretty good right now, and Tampa's running game will wear down the LA defense, and I think Cornelius does just enough to win the game for Tampa. So give me Tampa to beat the Wildcats. So my picks are Houston beating Seattle, Renegades beating the Guardians, St. Louis beating the Defenders, and Tampa Bay beating the Wildcats. So the home team actually goes 2-2 and changes that home record a little bit. But that is my picks. I am 12-4 on the year, which is not bad. I missed on a couple games last week. I went 2-2. I got the DC game wrong, and I got the LA and New York game wrong. So LA and DC stick it to me again. That's the only teams I missed on. I'm pretty good about these picks. But so again, Houston beating Seattle, Dallas beating New York, St. Louis beating DC, and Tampa beating the Wildcats. Thank you for joining me this week. Like I said, I had combined two episodes in one, kind of a shorter preview. That's when I get my picks in. I am about to go to bed and get ready to fly out to Houston. Seattle and Houston, here I come. Can't wait to see BJ Daniels against Philip Walker. Two great quarterbacks. It's going to be an exciting, fun game. Me and the rest are going to be live at TDECU Stadium. I will go over this Monday. I'll go over how my game experience was and go over each and every one of the games of Week 5. We'll get back to the two-show-a-week schedule next week. Thank you for listening to me all this time. I can't believe it's finally here. You know, I never thought I'd get to go to a game. I live in Georgia. I thought this was going to be just one of those things I just watch on TV, and here I am, you know, a little over 48 hours away from getting to go see a game live. I'm a lucky man. I want to thank the ref. I want to thank my girlfriend for letting me go. I'm going to miss her and my son, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. I'm so excited for it, and I just hope that it's everything I think it's going to be, and I know it will be. Thank you for joining me since December 2018. I will talk to y'all next week.